Good morning. I'm Celeste Headley here with John Hockenberry. So, John, every day we get new information out of Afghanistan, and every day it's bad.
Well, it's bad if you're pro-democracy, I guess.
Well, I don't think anyone admits
to it's really good
The
news.
Newest allegations from tribal leaders say people with Hamid Karzai's team forged almost 24,000 votes. Amal Pasarla is the BBC Pashto section's deputy editor of the Afghan news stream at the BBC World Service. That's a mouthful. So, Amal, we heard from the Afghan ambassador to the United Nations, Zahir Tanin, and this is what Zahir Tanin had to say about these reports.
We're concerned about the emphasis on fraud by the media that put in question the legitimacy of the question. When millions of people vote under very difficult situation and constant threat of the Taliban.
So, Amal, you are on the ground there. Which is it? Are these allegations to be taken seriously, or should we believe the ambassador and say they're totally overblown?
Well, allegations should be taken seriously, but I agree with Zahir Tanin in one thing, that fraud in elections in Afghanistan is not something new. 5 years ago, when President Karzai won the election, again, there were complaints about frauds, but nobody took it seriously or nobody talked about it. Back in 1960s, when Afghanistan were holding their first elections for parliament, there were 13 terms of parliament at the time. All the time there were these allegations and these worries. But election in that part of the world always has these concerns. And I think this time round it is a bit more talk about fraud rather than other aspect of election.
Okay, so there's always been fraud in Afghanistan. Noah Feldman, you're a professor of law at Harvard. You wrote The Fall and Rise of the Islamic State. You're also a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. We heard this from Ambassador Richard Holbrooke yesterday. He was in Paris at a meeting of Western envoys to Afghanistan.
Our advocacy is for a fair process overseen by the Independent Election Commission, taking into account the decisions of the Election Complaints Commission, a process which then elects a government that is legitimate and reflects the will of the people who voted.
So, Noah, you just heard Amal Pasarla talking about how there's always been some corruption in Afghanistan elections. What does fair mean, then, at this point?
Fair means that you can convince people in Afghanistan and almost equally importantly outside of Afghanistan, including in the U.S., that the person who eventually wins the election got substantially more votes than the next person. And the reason that fraud didn't matter so much the last time around is that none of the challengers came very close to President Hamid Karzai's vote total. But that is different this time. This time, Abdullah Abdullah, who's the other most serious candidate, claims himself to have gotten as many votes as President Karzai. So a close election is one in which fraud really matters tremendously. An election with a big margin, people sort of shrug their shoulders and say, okay, well, there was a little bit of cheating at the margins, but it doesn't matter to the overall outcome.
Well, but Noah and Amal, it seems to me this question is for both of you, and it's pretty simple. I mean, from the discussions we've been having with people on the ground in Afghanistan, it seems that the Afghan people aren't terribly concerned about this election from a classic democratic standpoint. They're really considering it as something that the Americans want to go off reasonably well, that it's for their benefit, that they're less interested in the democratic outcome. Amal Pasarla, what do you think about that? And then I'll get a comment from Noah.
I don't agree with that point. People were interested in the election, and they're still interested in the election. I mean, when you speak to Afghans all over the country, they are pretty much interested in the whole process. And coming back to this last term of election, last time the second closest person was Qanouni, who got 16% of the vote, and the other number three and four and five, they got more than 10%, which are now allies of President Karzai. And this time, Abdullah is also far away from President Karzai, so it's not the same thing. And one other issue that everybody talked, that probably the second round of these elections might be fair and legitimate and people will be happy with it. Who could guarantee that the second round might be fair and there will be no fraud?
Noah, what's your response to that?
It's absolutely right that you can't guarantee the second round will be better, but there could be a much closer international scrutiny this time. And President Karzai in particular, who is, as Amal says, ahead, will realize, I think, that if the election leads to his being elected in the runoff, but it is perceived as illegitimate, that's actually bad for him. So he may be able to tell his supporters, including among others who have been alleged to have led the cheating, his brother, don't try to cheat this time. Don't do it. It will not actually serve my interests. It will not serve the interests of the people of Afghanistan. And I think we really have to hope for something like that. There's no guarantees, but if the election next time around looks illegitimate as well, that's going to be very bad for the legitimacy of his government and very bad for U.S. policy in the region, too, as Ambassador Holbrooke said.
So, no, you were talking earlier about how half of the audience, at least, are the Americans, and we've been seeing support for the war in Afghanistan dropping. More and more Americans are saying we should pull our troops out. So if the audience is at least partly America, is it absolutely essential to President Obama's mission there that this election be at least mostly legitimate?
I don't know if it's absolutely essential, but it's extremely important. Right now, we're at a position where, as you say, public support for the war is dropping, but President Obama is on the verge of being under a lot of pressure to ask the public to put more troops in Afghanistan. The generals who he says he will defer to have strongly implied that they're about to ask for more troops. They can't do it right now because of the timing of the election. That shows you why the election timing is actually extremely important.
Well, you know, Noah, I heard, and I'm going to be very cynical about this, Richard Holbrooke compares the election irregularities in Afghanistan to the 7 months it took to get an outcome in the Minnesota Senate race between Norm Coleman and Al Franken. I mean, is Holbrooke lowering the bar here that basically if Afghanistan can get its act together in under 7 months, it's fine?
That's not realistic because Minnesota, when I was last there at least, is not in the midst of a brutal insurrection. You know, when you have a war going on, you don't have that kind of time to switch on the fly. And in a way, our disputed elections, going all the way back even to the Bush against Gore fight in 2000, are a luxury of being a country relatively at peace. We just don't have that option in Afghanistan. Things have to change, and they have to change relatively quickly in order to convince the Afghans and the public that Hamid Karzai is actually still supposed to be the president.
So, Amal Pasarlay, you're the deputy editor of the Afghan news stream at BBC World Service out of London. So, as we're coming up to a runoff election, are we expecting it to have the same results? I mean, are we going to have more accusations after the runoff of ballot buying, of intimidation, of ballot boxes that are full 20 minutes after the boxes open?
Well, there are so many allegations that it's not fair to talk about one aspect or the other aspect of it. As I said earlier, there will be always allegation of fraud, and there will be always allegation of people filling boxes well in advance, and nobody could guarantee it. 4-5 years ago, the Afghan Election Commission was run by the European and the Americans, and even then there was a lot of fraud. So even international community cannot guarantee that there will be no fraud. But the second round of election, again, in this first round, there were more than 135 attacks by the insurgents during the election. More than 26 people were killed. And I know most of Afghan families just sent one person from their family to vote because they were afraid that if the whole family go and vote, and if there is any suicide attack or something, the whole family will go. Say, a lot of people were brave enough to take part in the first round. I doubted that there will be even 20% of voters in the second round.
Wow.
And then that will also create the question of legitimacy, that whether that election is legitimate by so much less voters.
So it sounds to me like the takeaway here is that Karzai is the legitimate president if he gets 60% of the 20% of people who vote in the runoff.
No, it's not 60%. 50 plus one is the margin in the
right.
Afghan
but if he
election,
picks up the 10% or so from the other candidates that were in, that he's,
well,
you know,
whoever is winning. I mean, there are still 40% votes to be counted. Mr. Abdullah is a 32% vote right now, and Karzai got 47%. Probably Karzai might win it. But whoever wins it, the thing is that the legitimacy of this election, if the election are deemed to be legitimate, would all these problems that we are talking about, that is a good question for the international community in Afghanistan and also for the Afghans, because illegitimate government in Afghanistan will only benefit the cause of Taliban, because they will be saying that this government is not legitimate.
Quick takeaway, Noah Feldman. Does turnout have to be higher than 20% to be legitimate in the runoff?
No, it doesn't turn on the turnout. It depends on the margin of victory, and it depends on Karzai being able to say to his own people and then President Obama being able to say to the American public, look, this is the guy who got the most votes. This is the guy who should be president. Now let's get back to the business of fixing the insurgency and fixing Afghanistan.
Okay. Noah Feldman, professor of law at Harvard, author of The Fall and Rise of the Islamic State. Thank you. Also, Amal Pasarle. He's the deputy editor of the Afghan News Stream at the BBC World Service.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.